read to you now from the New Testament. It's going to be from Mark, starting at chapter 2, verse 23. We'll start with Mark, chapter 2, verse 23, reading into chapter 3, up to about verse 6. Hear the word of the Lord. And it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat, except the priests, and he also gave it to those who were with him." Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." He entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. This is the Sabbath day, a day in which we set aside the world and its cares in order to worship our God. Now, growing up as a kid, I knew that's what we were supposed to do, but I never knew why. And I was taught, you know, that it's the Lord's Day, so we do special things, and we go to church, and we dress up, and we do nice things for people. But that's all I knew. And the thing is, if I hadn't even been taught that, I'd still know Sunday was something special because businesses would close back then. People would just have a different air about themselves, and I could never figure out why. Sunday had a feel all of its own. Tonight, what I want to do for you is help you understand why it has that special feel, why it truly is a special day. The Sabbath of the Lord is not something that was done back then and then became something new and it was changed to something else and then forgotten about and is now just a convenient time for worship. It's connected from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. Picture, if you will, a gauge, like the speedometer in your car. It's fully attached permanently. It's not going anywhere. Without the car, it's useless. If it comes off, it's useless. It does nothing, but it's connected. And it starts here, ends here. Sabbath starts here with Genesis at the very beginning and goes all the way here to Revelation and has no end. That's why it's so important for us to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. To remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. The Sabbath, the observance of Sabbath, was started right at the beginning. You remember in our Genesis reading that God rested from all his works of creation on that seventh day. And Sabbath, the word Sabbath, rested, comes from the original Hebrew language. It's somewhat of a lengthening and anglicizing of the word. But it doesn't mean rest in the way that we typically mean rest. When we think rest, it's because we're tired and aching and we need to have a break. Or maybe we've been running a machine for a long time, and that machine needs to rest for a while so it doesn't break. That doesn't really give us the meaning of the Hebrew word Sabbath. What happened was that God withdrew from his activity. That's the fuller meaning of rest, a withdrawing from a given activity. God's actions of creation were done, and he withdrew from that activity and rested on the seventh day. God was not tired. God was done. And so he stepped back from what he was doing. And now you are called by God, and I love this, it's a command invitation to you to imitate God and to join with him in his rest, to cease from your labors as he did, and join with him by worshiping him on his day with his people. And I call it a command invitation because although you are invited, it is also a command. In fact, it's the fourth commandment. Let's look at how the scriptures discuss the Sabbath. It was set in Genesis, set by God himself, and then reinforced in the Law and the Prophets. Let's go to, and you don't have to turn to all of these. I'm going to have several. Exodus. Of course, we've got to go to Exodus. Starting with chapter 16. Here are verses 22 to 30. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. And he's speaking of the manna that God was miraculously providing for his people. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. You'll find that now a lot of people will follow that pattern. They'll cook extra on Saturday or prepare double the amount on Saturday so that they don't have to worry about it on Sunday. Now, you won't find this as a law given that must be observed, but it is certainly wisdom. It frees you up to be in the worship of the Lord. Should someone show up at your house who has need of a meal, it's ready. There's no waiting needed. You can start it eating and you can witness to that person. You can encourage that person or, if need be, rebuke that person. It frees your Sabbath day to be a Sabbath day, a day of withdrawing from your typical labors. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Here, Moses has already heard from God that these are instructions and commandments. He heard the voice of the Lord. Now the Lord is giving it in writing. Hear the fourth command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It is a holy day. not only do you cease from your normal daily labors, but you see to it that your household does the same. The traveler who has come to stay with you, that traveler must cease from their daily labors. Why? This is the testimony to the Lord your God. And it will speak to that traveler, your children, any servants, your cattle. You don't work the cattle. It all comes to a halt for the glory of the Lord. And this is a command. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It is a blessed day. This, in which you are living right now, is a blessed day. More from Exodus, chapter 31. Chapter 31, verses 12 to 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'You shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed.'" Do you see how it keeps going back to the beginning? Here we hear twice that it's going to be observed and is a sign throughout the generations. Not just for that generation, not just for a while, but an ongoing sign throughout the generations of the connection between God and his people. The Sabbaths were so important that they even became a date marker. This by the hand of God. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. "You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering. There shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord." So important was the Sabbath day. It was even used by God to mark dates, festivals, events, time. And this was to go on throughout generations. This was a commanded invitation to imitate and enter the presence of God. To imitate God and to enter into his presence. Look in the Gospels and see when God himself walked the earth, not only did he remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, and by remember, that doesn't just mean it was in his head. That means he observed it. He did what was supposed to be done in it. Not only did he observe it, he clarified its meaning for his people. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 23. This is where we were just a few minutes ago. It's on page 996 in your pew Bibles. Mark chapter 2. Jesus and his disciples walking through grain fields on the Sabbath. The Pharisees watching. They got hungry. The disciples did. So they took some heads of grain and they rubbed it to get the seeds to come out of it so that they could have something to snack on. Now, it doesn't say anything about them stopping to grind them or to cooking or to make bread or anything like that. They just pick the grains. It's something to put in their stomach. And even this, the Pharisees decided was too much. But Jesus, God in the flesh, God among them, had come to clarify what he meant by the Sabbath. And for this, I'd like to turn to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, if I may. Question number 59. Let's start there, because Jesus, what he was doing, he was not only setting the day, but he was setting what was going to be happening in it. Question 59. Which day of the seventh hath God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. One of the proof texts is from Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. And you see that happening over and over and over again. How they started to gather on the first day of the week instead of the seventh. And the Sabbath and the Lord's Day became one. Which is why we are here on this day today. If you've ever wondered how the Lord's Day and the Sabbath became honored on the same day, that's how. And so, what about bringing out the grain, that little bit of work that they were doing? Why were the Pharisees so angry about this? They had abused and ignored the word. They had abused and ignored the word. They would allow a man to go hungry rather than let him feed himself, because they were trying to work their way through the Sabbath. See, we can't idolize the Sabbath any more than we abuse and ignore the Sabbath. Both are sinful. But our Lord is good to give us a full understanding of what it is and what it means. Question 60 from the Shorter Catechism. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. Now, where do they draw that from? And there are obviously more proof texts in the longer catechism. Lots of different verses I could share with you. But in the interest of time, because we want to get to the heart of understanding the Sabbath, I'm just going to give you one of the answers from the Shorter Catechism. Matthew 12, verses 11 and 12. Matthew 12, 11 and 12. And he said unto them, what shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. So as Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees were getting angry, they were ignoring what had been written. And Jesus was clarifying this. When the disciples grabbed a little grain to eat as they walked along, he reminded them of what David did. And these, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, had managed to completely misunderstand or ignore that, or worse, just place themselves above it so that they could get the respect God was supposed to, because they were so holy. But they weren't. They were abusing the Sabbath. And the Lord Jesus Christ made that clear. Question 61. This one is important. What is forbidden in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employment or recreations. I want to read to you part of the proofs from there. Comes from Isaiah. Isaiah 58, just two verses. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What then do we do with the Sabbath? Don't let the warning against idleness frighten you. That doesn't mean you can't take a nap on the Lord's Day afternoon. Worship, it's exhausting, especially when you're giving your all to the Lord, because it takes from your body and your spirit. Taking a nap is not what's in mind there. It's the loafing, the casting away of any usefulness of yourself. That's the idleness in mind here. So you may ask, okay, well, what about shopping? Some people resist shopping on the Lord's Day. Okay. I'm not going to give you your yes or no. I'm going to describe to you what happens. When a business owner sees that a particular day of the week is the most busy, they're going to want to be open on that day. And they're going to tell their employees, well, you have to come in or you lose your job. So they have to be there. And then the people who work at the utilities have to be available to monitor water, gas, electricity. There have to be police on the roads for the people who are driving about. So all those people are forced to work. So what happens if in a restaurant on the Lord's Day afternoon, 75% of the customers are Christians? There you go. There's a concert tonight at Heinz Field. Innocent, right? It's just going to listen to music. But again, these are professional musicians, professional singers. And so they have a hotel booked, a whole floor. The hotel workers have to be there to take care of things. The cooks in the hotel have to be there to cook for them. The people who work in the laundry have to be there. The people who work at Heinz Field have to be there. The police have to work providing security. The garbage collectors have to work to clean up afterward. A lot of people have to work in order to have that concert on a Sunday evening. Have to. And again, I don't want to just stand here and try to define for you exactly how you should and shouldn't spend your Sabbath any further than the Lord has. But in giving you the principle on how to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, you'll be able to make these decisions for yourself as you think it through. I get myself in a little bit of trouble every year around the time of the Pittsburgh Marathon as I publish my annual Facebook decrying of the marathon because it closes streets. Some Christians choose to run the marathon rather than go to worship. And it's not, you know, it's not a great fundraiser or anything. They just want to run a foot race rather than worship the Lord. And some churches actually shut their doors that morning because with the streets closed, people can't get there and it's just useless for them to even open the doors, they feel. But when I say that this is clearly wrong, I'm told that you're being a Pharisee. Whatever. It's wrong. It's wrong. If it keeps, the world will pile all types of entertainments into your Lord's Day. All types, and it does. The stores now stay open. There are concerts, there are foot races. There's lots for you to do on Sunday rather than going to stuffy old church. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The command invitation is a beautiful opportunity founded at creation, clarified by Christ for you today and yet still holds even more promise. It isn't just this day to set everything aside and be with the Lord. It's even more than that. See in Hebrews how you are reminded of the ultimate fulfillment of the Sabbath and how it is yet to come. Hebrews chapter 4. I had the blessing of preaching this verse to you last year, and I want to return to it briefly again. It was verse 9 then. Right now we're going to look at Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. The one who has entered his rest, God's rest, has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. You can set aside the concerns of the week because God provides for you. Your work is to go and do work. You have responsibilities. You have mouths to feed. You have to feed yourself. You may have bills to pay, people to teach, an example to set. But in the Lord's day, you may set all that aside and know that the Lord has it covered. He's got it covered. He is your strength anyway, those other 6 days. It's him who enables you to do all those things and provides for you and guides you and does all these things. And he is the one saying, okay, now, put it all aside. So where in that does it sound like he wants to harm you in any way? You can set it aside and know that it is taken care of. And note in this, verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. This is how we can know. Okay, we started at Genesis, moved through the Law and Prophets, got to the Gospels, we're moving faster. We're in Hebrews, and we're finding out there's more to come. There's more to come. Joshua was to lead the people into the promised land, a place of continual riches, ongoing beauty, peace and rest, not just for a day, but to live there. As you have trusted Christ with your life, you are on your way there. It's coming. It's coming. It's promised. This day, each week, is just a small foretaste of what it will be like when you reach that final promised rest. Enter the Revelation to find out what that Sabbath fulfillment will look like. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, near the back of the book. Starting with verse 9. Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysopras, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor of the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. This, beloved, is where the needle has hit its peak. Genesis, Law and Prophets, Gospel, Hebrews, Revelation, and it just keeps going. That special feeling you have on the Lord's Day, that special awareness that you have, the special opportunity to sing his praise, to know and learn his word, to fellowship with the saints, this is just a taste of how good it's going to be. This is the city in which you will live. This is the beauty which you will have forever. You will serve the Lord forever. You will worship him day in and day out. There will be no day out. Every day. Every day. You will have all the saints around you. The ones we've lost. The ones we never met. You will meet the apostles. You will meet the sons of Israel. You will meet all the faithful. And you will remember the Sabbath because you will enter into it fully. As you enter it partially now, you'll enter it fully then. That's why we do this. That's why we do this, to the glory of God. And as a foretaste of that final amazing reward. How you spend your Sabbath now matters. It would do more harm than good for me to try to create some list of approved activities or anything like that for you. But now, if I've been clear with you, you understand God's principle for the Sabbath. And you can answer those questions for yourself. And week in and week out, you yourself can remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Join me now in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, there is none like you, and there never has been, and there never will be. We are thankful that you have given us a day of rest, that you combined it with the day of worship, so that we, in training all these years, begin to recognize worship is rest. We have learned that we can set aside the worries of the week, that we don't need to carry them into this day because you have this day firmly in your hands. And that one day, the blessedness of worship, the fellowship of the saints, the singing of the psalms, and the purity of the Lord will be ours forever. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.